Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
In this month of February, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, David Malfara, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and the one and only Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of The Last of Us, but this time we're doing a mailbag. A lot of you have sent in emails. We've curated some that we thought might start a good conversation.
Yeah, you know, some good little quips, tips, questions, Easter eggs, pills, babies we may have missed.
Those little, like those little conversation starter cards that you get for failing marriages. That's kind of what these emails are. We just pull them out of a hat. And
I needed one of those.
Yeah, you did.
Wait a minute. I got a box of those on my nightstand.
Awkward. Oh, no.
That's right. I got the soundboard up.
Your marriage just started. But we could have read every single one of these emails. They were all great, but we're just going to pick out some that we have time for. We appreciate you guys listening. We're a little over halfway through season one of The Last of Us now. So we thought it was a good time to check in with the audience and answer some questions that have been sent in. So let's do it. Let's dive right in. But you can always join the conversation by emailing streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe to a variety of tiers to get a plethora, a myriad, you might say.
Cornucopia.
Uh-huh. Of rewards, yeah, and bonus content and things like that. We would very much appreciate if you would do that. But if nothing else, you can support the show for free at any time by just rating and reviewing the show wherever you're listening to this. And in a positive way. That's the helpful way, just to be clear. You can say whatever you want in content, but 5 stars. So like, worst show I've ever seen. That dude's hideous. Can't stand his face. 5 stars. That's fine.
That's a real one.
That's the only way
I'll
actually
read
that.
That's a real
review we've gotten. Yeah. Oh, nice. I was like, thanks, Mom. But yeah, let's dive right into the first email. Let's waste no time. This comes in from Andrew D.
Andrew.
All right, damn it. I've been quiet long enough. Wanted to write this before I forgot. First off, I'm 100% team oatmeal raisin.
Oh,
sorry,
another
Steve.
One.
But have you ever tried an oatmeal craisin cookie before? It's got the little cranberry raisins in it. Fantastic. And he did the little chef's kiss symbol emoji. Also, raspberry cheesecake cookies got to be on the Mount Rushmore of cookies.
I agree with 100%.
I've never had a raspberry cheesecake cookie.
Oh my gosh. They sell them at Subway of all places. And those
Subway's got everything.
Yeah, they got everything there.
I haven't been to Subway since the aughts.
It's probably like cheesecake, raspberry, and sawdust, but it's a good cookie.
Yeah. You know? I like cheesecake. I like raspberry.
Yeah, I'm sure I would like it. It's a weird cookie to pull out. I don't know if it's on the Mount Rushmore. I think you got to go chocolate chip. You got to go oatmeal raisin.
Peanut butter.
And then a white chocolate macadamia nut.
Ooh.
I don't know, like a classic sugar cookie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or how about
a snickerdoodle?
A snickerdoodle.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Either one. Take your pick.
Andrew goes on. Actually, now that I think about it, save this for the mailbag. Huh, well, we did. What is on y'all's Mount Rushmore of cookies? I should have kept reading. There you go. Think about it.
Asked and answered. Yeah. Or answered.
Nailed
and
it.
Asked.
Love the coverage, guys. Have a good one. Thank you, Andrew. Our next email came in early on after our first episode of The Last of Us coverage, where we kind of made a flub because we know very little about Indonesia. And we actually talked about this at the time and corrected ourselves. But just to get the exact wording, this comes in from Sunny. Hi, Chris, Andy, and Steve. Longtime listener, first time emailer. Love the recap and review of The Last of Us. Love the TV series so far. As an Indonesian, it was a thrill watching one of the greatest Indonesian actors on an international hit. Didn't know that person was a famous Indonesian actor either.
Well, now you do.
Now I do. But one error in the subtitle irked me. The scientist's name is Ratna, not Ibu Ratna. Ibu in Indonesian is an honorific to address older women, similar to Ms. or Mrs. A more accurate subtitle would be Mrs. Ratna or even Professor Ratna. Also, in addition to Indonesia having the largest flour mill in the world, it's also near the equator. So it's super hot here, which makes sense that the outbreak started there. I thought that was really cool. Love your show. Also, I made a comment at the time about how Ratna was just picked up by the military police. And I thought that was strange that everybody was just kind of like, oh, I guess that's okay. But she goes on to say, also in the late 90s and early aughts was a time of political unrest in Indonesia following the downfall of President Sukarno. Definitely a time where a random person could be summoned by the military and never return. So her fear of being taken by the authorities definitely makes sense. So good to have that.
Yeah, that's a really great email. I learned a lot through there. That was one of the best. I really liked that flashback in that episode. Was that episode 2?
I think so.
Yeah, it was episode 2. That actor or that actress, she really, you know, that's probably her one and done role in the show, but she crushed it and left a lasting impression. And that is kind of strange that they put in the honorific in there. That would be weird if like a whole episode, like if they made an episode about us and I was just like, Mr. Jimmy, what are we going to do about these kids, Mr. Jimmy? There's too many kids.
Too many.
What are we going to do about them, Mr. Jimmy?
Our next email comes in from Aaron G. Hey guys, I have a bullets, baby.
Pills, baby.
I don't think that's how that works, Aaron. That you missed in the last episode of The Last of Us that I must share because I lost my mind when I saw it. And this came in on in late January, so it could have been the second episode or so. When I saw it on screen, I screamed, rewound the show, screamed again, and then had to explain to my non-gamer roommate why I was freaking out. At one point, when Joel, Ellie, and Tess are walking through the abandoned areas of Boston, the camera zooms in on their feet walking past a small stuffed animal on the ground.
Oh, yes.
That stuffed animal is a giraffe, which fans of the game will know that giraffes have a huge meaning later on in the story, and that small giraffe plushies are peppered all throughout the game to hint at what is to come. I included a photo from the show, and then she did. It's attached. I was so very excited to see this, and I hope this means still keep one of my favorite moments from the game in the show. If this is hinting at what I think it is, love the show. Can't wait for more bullets and pills and episodes to come.
Definitely missed that.
None of us caught that plush.
Good eye.
Giraffe, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love the foreshadowing because that is a magical moment, and I hope they keep it.
It is.
In the show.
Good eye, Aaron. None of us caught that. The next email comes in from Maureen, and it's just an interview answer from Anna Torv, who played Tess in the show, that perfectly addresses the changes that happen from the game to the TV show. And it reads, this is from Entertainment Weekly, and this is Anna's quote. Then when I went in for hair and wardrobe and the whole bit, I love that they aged her up, she added. The show is its own thing. We get to make it our own. In fact, as a non-gamer, the actress offered a unique perspective for fans who might find themselves upset at the ways the show's plot or characters occasionally deviate from the game. It's like a play, you know, she said. You have a really great play that gets put on in different cities with different casts and different actresses, and some productions lean this way or lean that way. But in the end, it's ultimately the same story and the same characters, when they're well drawn. We had a couple of Tess's big memorable lines still in it verbatim, she noted. I didn't consciously want to be different or consciously want to be replicating. I don't even think it's interpretation. I just think it's through a different lens. And that's Anna Torv's quote on what it's like adapting another property.
Yeah, I really love this quote. I wanted this to be in the mailbag episode because I really loved her perspective on reimagining of different stories. Because a lot of times if there's a beloved property like Last of Us and it's adapted to the film, it's adapted to TV, there are always going to be people who are like, oh my gosh. I mean, hell, like all the controversy with people getting mad about Bella Ramsey being Ellie, that kind of shit.
Right.
Yeah. Where it's like, it's different from what I want it to be the exact same. Why was Bill the way Bill was in episode 3? It's different. I don't like it.
Yeah, I was trimming my neck beard and then I looked over and what the hell is this?
The Last Jedi ruined my life. So her interpretation I thought was like a really healthy way of viewing these type of things. Like it's a stage play. And if anyone has gone to stage plays, you can go see you can go see like Oklahoma on Broadway, but if you go and see it down here at the Aronoff where we live,
it might be Wyoming.
It could be, it's functionally the same, but they're always going to be slightly different nuances, the way people play different characters, the way things look on stage. It's all going to be slightly different. And it's just, it's exactly what you said. It's a different lens. And I thought that was a very healthy perspective to have on properties being adapted.
Yeah. Really cool interview. So thank you for providing that. I don't think anybody that's really upset about Bella Ramsey or The Last Jedi has seen a play. So that might be the problem.
I'm literally talking to the void because anybody who's upset about those things are not going to listen to me do that. What I just said, they'll still be like, cook and move on.
Our next email comes in from Samantha S. with the subject line, is Stranger Things and The Last of Us the same show? Parentheses, no, but there are some interesting parallels. Tim Allen joins us and it says, hi friends, just wanted to send some love and appreciation for you all and the pod. I have been listening to your since your Stranger Things 4 recap
and have
joined back in to hear your thoughts on The Last of Us. Admittedly, I've tuned in for the absolute hunk of a man that is Pedro Pascal, but I'm staying for the story and incredible acting of all cast members I've seen in episode 1.
Pedro Pascal is a hunk.
I had you guys for a second, didn't I?
Yeah. For a second I was like, oh, hold on, show me that screen.
She meant Jimmy.
No one has ever described you as hunk.
No
one. Except you.
Literally no one.
I really like that bean pole, Chris.
Dang. I was wondering if y'all noticed the parallels between Jim Hopper and Joel Miller. Both are emotionally guarded men who have lost their daughters, both named Sarah. And while we haven't seen much of Joel's character growth yet, I'm pretty confident he will develop into more of a father figure like Hopper has toward 11. Also, L11. I'm wondering if the Duffer brothers played The Last of Us before or when writing Stranger Things and borrowed some inspiration from the game, considering the game came out before Stranger Things was released. Not sure, since I don't know when they started writing Stranger Things 1. Anyway, thanks for reading. Love your show and recap so far. P.S. Oatmeal raisin cookies are good, but Heath bars suck. Also, I miss hearing Dr. Brenner on the show. Please tell him I hope he's doing well. Sam.
I'm doing pretty well post apocalypse.
Dr. Brenner, good to hear you.
Hello, it's me, Dr. Marty B. I've carved out some time in my schedule to come out of the Nina and make my thoughts of The Last of Us.
Been chilling in Nina a lot, huh?
Yeah.
That's where you watched The Last
Absolutely.
Of Us, I bet.
You know, I really made a point. I really wanted to talk about something that happened in the most recent episode. Did you see that girl clicker? That little kid clicker?
I did.
Oh my goodness.
If you could train kids to have those kinds of powers.
Oh, she had the sonic abilities of a bat. And the way she was just flipping around, oh my goodness, you don't even need mind powers to appreciate
that. Like no bones.
One would have stood no chance.
Jimmy, is that your name?
Yes, sir.
No bones, you say.
Yeah. She's like jelly.
I'm going to write that down. It's, you know, I really love the idea of a little girl that can just eat your face. Put that in the child fight, sell it on pay-per-view. We're going to have money rolling in.
Millions.
Millions and millions.
We can charge extra to put them in the Nina.
Oh, have child fights in the Nina? No, sir. That's Smarty B's special time.
What if Nina was like a little girl, man?
There's my buddy Argyle. Rev Rago, he goes supposedly now.
Whenever people talk about oatmeal cookies, man, I always think to myself, like, try before you deny, man. That's all. You could ever put oatmeal cookies on a pizza, man? Think about it.
Fun little Stranger Things aside, best friend of this pod, Phil, is just now starting to watch Stranger Things 4 this week.
Oh, man.
And one of the first things he texted me was a photo of Argyle that just said, fucking love this guy. I was like, yeah, my dude.
So he denied before he tried. But yeah, as Samantha said, I think there's a lot of parallels between Hopper and Joel Miller. I don't know. I can't confirm if the Duffers, I would have to bank on the fact that they did play The Last of Us for sure.
Well, The Last of Us is a game property. We are really seeing the fruits being born from that game's influence.
I love fruits.
Because Last of Us is really the progenitor, the one that kind of started, at least made popular, this film trope of grizzled older man becomes unwanted father figure to young child that they must protect and shepherd across a dangerous journey. Like, you see that all over the place now, and it really kind of got its roots from The Last of Us.
Well, I would argue, yes, popularizing the Cormac McCarthy novel, The Road, which came out long ago. That's his actual son. But I mean, as far as like man and young person traipsing through apocalyptic wilderness, mm-hmm. I think a lot of it originates with Cormac McCarthy. But I think you're right that, you know, the way that The Last of Us did it is much more like pop culture-y, mm-hmm. And entertaining, and definitely something a lot of people wanted to replicate.
And it's fun that Pedro Pascal is... who is like the quintessential father figure.
Yeah, him and Grogu, him and Ellie.
He was even in that like sci-fi movie where you had to protect a girl on like a planet of like space pirates or something. I forget what it was called, but it's the same thing. What?
That sounds amazing.
Oh my God. Pedro Pascal.
He was a vampire on Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the day.
No beard. Yeah. No beard.
Interesting.
Young man.
Interesting.
This next email comes in from Mary C., and it's titled, What's Wrong with Frank? In episode 3, I have a theory y'all didn't mention. Hey, guys, don't you think Frank has ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease? I think his symptoms line right up with ALS. And of course, there is no cure. That would make more sense than MS, which is what we had kind of hypothesized, which affects 4 times more women than men, whereas ALS affects 20% more men than women. Just my thoughts. Love the show. And I'm only watching The Last of Us because y'all are covering it. And I wanted to follow alongside and listen to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
It's great so far. Thanks for the fun. Best, Mary. Good theory.
I agree with Mary. I was talking to my girlfriend about this because she works at a hospital, and she was also saying like she thinks it's ALS, and she was kind of describing to me why, and I was like, oh yeah, I would agree that probably sounds way more like it.
So yeah, symptoms line up. I just remember doing the ALS challenge with the ice buckets.
Mm-hmm. Did you do it?
What's ALS stand for?
I don't know. It's not ASL. We're not talking about Sam here. We're not talking about Sam. This next email comes in from Kim, and it says, Hi, new to your pod, but loving it so far. Welcome. Oh,
thank you.
Never played the game, but love the show, and it makes me want to play. Is it better to have played the game first, or do you wish you watched the show going in as a newbie? So all of us have played the game, Steven and Jimmy, many times. I played it literally weeks before the premiere of the show, so that I could have that kind of background and see the differences and nuances of the adaptation and have kind of more content to talk about in that regard. I don't think there is a better way would be my cheap answer. I think it's really fun for longtime fans of the game to watch it unfold so well and be handled so well, which is rare for a video game adaptation or any adaptation. Really. There's always some disappointing things. But also, I think the perfect adaptation is one where you need no background in the property. It's being adapted to another medium so you can come into it fresh for the first time and enjoy everything that the first time game player could enjoy. And I think that I can't say for sure because I played the game, but I think it's doing that. So that's my answer.
Jimmy?
I think I kind of wish I never played the game and watched a show. Like, I know the show's incredibly good and the changes in it are really well done. But I think a lot of the fun for me is having played the game and been such a good fan of the game for so long, and then them adapting it into a show. It's really fun to follow along and pick out the things that they pulled from the game, the things that they changed from the game. So I don't know. I don't think there really is a better way to do it, like Chris said.
Steve. If anything, it might be distracting.
That first episode was a little hard to, not hard, but I was kind of taken aback by how much I was distracted the whole time. Like, oh, that's just from the game. Oh, that's just from the game. Oh, that's just from the game.
Yeah, I would
agree. Constantly.
Instead of just being immersed in the story.
Right.
So I think it's good that you never played the game. Just keep enjoying it. And if afterward you want to go back and play it, I think there's plenty there.
Yeah, it'd be extra. Fun to do it on like the reverse side. Like,
yeah.
Watch the show and then go back and play the game and be like, huh.
See all that? You making me play the game first? You fucked me, man.
Yeah.
You fucked me.
Our next email comes in from Katie S.
Katie.
And this is a tough one for me because last time Steve called me asinine. But it's called The Last of Us on That Kiss, quote unquote. And it says, hi, guys.
Wait, I called her asinine?
You called me. And oh, that was just okay. Me talking.
I was going to say, like, what? What did I do?
Did I black out? I had two T's and popped off.
How many T's have I had today?
Hi, guys. Love the show. I did have a theory on that infamous kiss, quote unquote, between Tess and the infected dude. I don't think it was a juxtaposition between that and the lack of goodbye kiss between Joel and Tess. I'm with Steve on that one. Regardless of why the infected guy did that, my question was why Tess let it happen. Like, I get she was infected at that point, but she's a badass, and I'm sure her reflex would have been still to fight him off. I think she let it happen on purpose to give her time to get the lighter to work. If she had fought against it, the guy would have ripped her apart, and she might never have gotten the lighter to work to blow up the building, which to me is pretty badass of her. Just my two cents. Thanks for the podcast. Love dissecting the episode with you guys every week. Kate.
I think that's my favorite theory so far of why that exists.
She's withstanding it, mm-hmm. to give Joel and Ellie time.
So she can light that lighter because it was being a real bastard, that lighter.
That scene's not perfect. No. I do think the kiss is 100% an artistic choice, but I concede that we have to agree to disagree between you, Kate, and I.
What was your thing? I know you had told me like a fan theory that you read, and I called that fan theory asinine.
Yeah.
But I don't think I called your like opinion in the
moment. I definitely am leaning toward the interpretation that there is an element to like why they did a creepy kiss is on purpose, especially in the context of she loves Joel and he won't reciprocate because he's emotionally incapable kind of way. I think that is 100% intentional, personally. But what that scene is not perfect for is a lot of like blocking choices, and like there's like 70 fucking grenades at her feet.
Right.
And she's trying to light this lighter, right? So it's just kind of frustrating from a perspective of like, she's a very battle hardened, crafty person. I know she's got a lot going on right now, and she's distracted by the fact that she's a dying. But pull a pin. There's rescue grenades everywhere.
Yeah.
Arnold would be so disappointed.
It'll rescue the scene.
You could rescue yourself.
Let me see what you could do. What is your leadership capabilities? Pull the pin. Do it. Come on. Do it. Kill me. Kill yourself. Put the cookie down and pull a grenade.
Why did I wheeze? I'm getting so old. Sounded like Anthony the Sniper. I was trying Tony. To say, Des, have you been pushing too many pencils?
You've been pushing too many pencils? You son of a bitch.
Thank you so much, Kate.
I love that theory, Kate, though. Thank you.
Our next email is from Jennifer K. Hi, guys. I am another one of your Stranger Things fans who only started watching The Last of Us so I could listen to your recaps. You hear that, HBO? You son of a bitch.
Give us screeners.
I'm loving them as usual. My question is, why do you think people are attracted to apocalyptic stories? I'm a person who has read The Stand at least 5 times. I think it's probably because it seems simpler than our complicated lives now with jobs, debt, bills, and other modern pressures. What do you think? Keep up the great work. Thanks for giving me something to look forward to on Mondays. Jen K from Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
Jimmy, why do you think people love apocalyptic stories so much?
I just think the idea of it fascinates people, right? Like, everybody is interested in thinking about what would happen if they survived the end of the world, be it, you know, a world war, zombies, and they can, just dive into the story a little bit easier. And maybe it's like an easy catch for viewers, right? Here's another post-apocalyptic show that people are definitely going to watch. Now it's a little different that they're doing it. These are years after the big zombie boom that happened, you know, in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, when everything that came out was zombie this, zombie that. But I think it, people are just interested in fantasizing about what they would do. Maybe they're writing, taking notes. You know,
everybody's got a zombie plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a morbid fascination, kind of like when you ponder your own death or something, like this is pondering the death of society. But also it's something, there's something comforting about it. Like
not, you know, going to
like
work.
Jennifer said, yeah, like not, it's like a giant playground in a way. As long as you got plenty of canned fruit and bullets, it's kind of like, woohoo.
I think it could be an interesting, it's as it, or it is.
I don't have to shave my balls anymore.
Thank God.
I don't now.
Maximum bush. no, it's, I think it's a really interesting story device as well, because you can tell streamlined stories about like some really harrowing, dark, you know, parts of like what it means to be a humanity, but you remove that pesky society out of the situation. So you don't have to worry about like, well, why, like they can't murder people here. The cops would just show up. Well, there are no cops. Or like, you can't do that. Phones exist. Well, there's no phones, because you take all that out of there. So you can really focus on a very particular type of story that might otherwise be harder to tell if it was set in a functional world.
Very true. There's more narrative freedom outside the confines.
Freedom.
Our next email comes in from Kimberly M. And there's just one section of it. She wrote a really long email that I loved very much. But mostly talking about episode 3 with Frank and Bill. But she writes, also, when Frank told Bill to go take a shower, that was one of the most true moments in any love scene I've ever witnessed. When my husband and I watch TV, I get on his nerves so much, because we'll be watching a survival scene or a scene where people just wake up and start kissing. And I'm always like, ew, no, neither one of them have showered for weeks, or crypt mouth kisses. He doesn't understand why I can't just enjoy the show. I need realism, man. After all, when my man comes a calling, he knows the rules. 24 years together, and that has been rule numero uno since day uno. If we are not clean, there will be no love scene. I just thought I would read that.
That's a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Embroider that and hang it up in my living room.
I can't relate, but I respect it.
Oh, you roll in the muck. In the mire.
I do. Is that a quote from that Nirvana cover?
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My girl.
No, not that one. Girl. No. It is from a song, but I'm having the muck and the mire. But it's not that one.
What a song is that from?
I don't know.
We'll look it up. That definitely irks me. No, I mean, I totally get it. You definitely want to brush your teeth and stuff like that. But also, so the first time, this is definitely TMI.
Hang me out to dry. Is that hang me out to dry?
Maybe Frank.
That song. Too many times.
Holy shit, this is really driving me nuts now. Oh, it's the muck and the mire. Yeah. Yes.
Cannot think of what that song is. Outside
muck and mire lyrics.
Frank just knew where he was going. So he was like, you're going to have to shower.
Yeah, like there's definitely people, like there's a guy I work with. He's a freelancer that we work with often. And the joke is like he carries so much gum on him. Like an absurd amount of gum. Like literally when he's walking around. Cold War Kids.
Now hang me up to dry. Why did that occur to me out of nowhere? That is not. Anyway.
Way to go, man. You cracked it. But this guy, you can literally hear the gum rattling in his pocket because he has so much on him. And it's because he's almost got PTSD about his wife is so particular. Like, don't come at me unless you have like fresh breath.
I will dropkick you.
Breath is one thing for sure.
Don't come at me.
But like a little sweat, a little stank, that ain't always bad. And I think like the first time my wife and I were intimate.
A little sweat, little stank, but 2 weeks out in the bush.
Yeah, oh sure, 2 weeks.
Maximum bush.
I was just thinking about like when my wife and I got together for the first time, we worked together. And we had both worked like a long double shift at a pizzeria slash bar.
You order this large pizza?
But you're right. Weeks out in the apocalypse, it's always meat. At least jump in the pond. I think about it a lot with like medieval stories and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, what's good?
Well, I often find myself thinking like, it's even in this show, like when the infected are all like in this most recent episode, when they all come piling out of that hole. One of my first thoughts was
go on.
I bet that smells awful. When that hole opens up and the stank just comes out, and then all these like half decomposed, half fungus bodies come running out of
you. Funny if everybody's like, ugh.
Run them down. And they're like holding their nose.
Just, I'm telling you,
I thought about
a couple grenades in that hole and there's no story there.
The only time I ever really thought about that, I watched Deadwood. You guys remember that show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, I mean, all the sex that happens in that show and some
all the Wild
West. And I was always like, I bet that doesn't smell too
good. Yeah, the West is even worse than medieval for some reason, because they're always like wearing wearing three coats in the desert and shit. Like, yeah, anyway, my balls have been profusely sweating all day, but I'm going to go get me a prostitute. I'm like, the poor lady.
Yeah.
Funny thing, you bring up Deadwood. Did you know there was a Last of Us connection to the show of Deadwood?
I did not.
I'm pretty sure. The guy who voices Bill in The Last of Us plays Dan Doherty in Deadwood.
Really?
I think W. Earl Brown, I think, is his name.
What I wouldn't give to have Ian McShane in Last of Us somewhere. That would be a phenomenal casting.
Just swearing up
literally
a storm.
Anybody. He could have played Ellie and I would have loved it.
That would definitely be an interesting choice.
You want to hear a joke, Joel?
He just says the C word like 900 times in a minute.
Our next email comes in from Beth H. Hey guys, first I'd like to mention that although I've been listening to podcasts for years, Stranger Streaming Things is the first show to have my Patreon support.
Whoa.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you.
You guys are the perfect mix of class and crass. That should be our damn tagline.
Hell, it's Streaming Things. Class and crash.
Class and crass.
That is kind of hard to say.
Class and crass and coming for that ass. I'll work on it. I'm so glad that I found you. My question. I think we've all had times in our lives when we felt like Joel.
That's why Frank made him take a shower.
When we felt like Joel, but needed a friend like Ellie. Who is your Ellie? And what is your favorite thing about them that you're willing to share? From Professor Beth.
So like a friend that...
Anybody. Who's your Ellie?
In life.
Mm. Now, for Steve, it's easy. He has a dog who's literally named Ellie. And
that's true. I do. Who is named after Ellie from The Last... For Ellie in The Last of Us. Yeah, that's where she gets her name. She also, personality-wise... is very much like Ellie from The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. It's an apt name. She's a little
she's
bit
got
of
a knife
bastard.
Right now.
Sometimes I wake up at night and she's just holding it, looking at me. But instead of stabbing me, she tells me a joke. It's a very weird relationship we have. What about you guys?
I think the obvious answer is my wife.
Right.
But I think it's my son. Somebody who's... calls me out on my bullshit, because my son, he doesn't have that filter yet. He's 9. So I just say whatever. But he's also super sweet and supportive. Like, my favorite thing about my son is how much he cares for the feelings of others. You know, like, even I'll say something self-deprecating, and I've tried to watch negative self-talk and how that might rub off on him. Even though I do it supposedly jokingly, I actually am filled with self-loathing, and that's probably why I'm doing those quote-unquote jokes. Mm-hmm. But I'll say something like, I look fucking stupid today, but let's just go out anyway or whatever. And my son will stop me. I'm like, Dad, no, I think you look great.
What
I
think, a G.
I, think you look nice. I love your hat. And he'll start like picking out things. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
what a guy.
He's cool as shit. I love my son. That's Mason.
Mason's about to be my Ellie.
Yeah.
No, mine would definitely be my wife.
How many bricks is she throwing at people?
Tons, probably. Mm-hmm. We know her a couple years ago, probably. For sure. She is the first person that I've been with that allows me to be me. I've dated a lot of women in the past, and I always felt like I had to act a certain way. So quick example, I come home the other night, and she's sitting at the table, and she's got a snack pack pudding in her hand. And she's like, let's see if we can eat these without a spoon and see who wins. So there's a video of us doing it, which I smoked her. But immediately for her to just want to do that, and for me to be like, well, hell yeah, and not feel like I'm being judged.
Other than on your speed.
Yeah. Yeah.
For slurp ability.
Yeah. But I smoked her.
A competition.
Yeah. Yeah. She stood no chance. 1-0 me for sure. So yeah, my wife, Mackenzie.
Thank you for that thoughtful question, Beth.
That's a good one.
And our next email comes in from Sunny. Hello.
Hi.
Hope you guys are doing well. I just finished episode 5 and my heart is still pounding and my tears have not dried.
Same.
I just want to quickly send a note to mention that I thought it was poetic justice that Kathleen was killed by a child. Looks like a young girl. It is. Fungus zombie. Moments after she told Henry that kids die all the time. Great episode. Can't wait to hear your take on it. You will have heard our take. We might have stolen that thought from you because I definitely read this earlier today, but you're 100% correct that it's a great poetic justice after Kathleen's comments.
Hoisted by her own petard.
It all comes back around.
My, how the turntables.
And props.
Kansas City Karens die every day, Kathleen.
Yeah, what's another one? Yeah, and I don't know what that actor's name is, but that we talked about it on Monday, but that kid is like a famous contortionist, Sky gymnast.
Kelton.
Something like that. Yeah. Very, very awesome little actor. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Steve, don't you have some questions of your own that people have sent you?
We do. So we have a couple questions sent in to us by our members on the Discord, the Streaming Things Discord that you can be a part of if you go onto patreon.com/streamingthings. Always be plugging. Our first question, I believe this question actually comes from Jordan-esque Casey.
On Casey!
At least I think so. She didn't.
Maybe
she didn't write down if she didn't say who this was from, so I'm assuming it's from her. They write, who has impressed you the most so far? Why? If it's too hard to choose, you can mention two. Thank you for that leeway. So nice. Who's impressed you the most so far on the show?
As far as actors?
I think so, yeah. Character, like really anything.
My first one would probably be Bella Ramsey. I didn't, I didn't really know much about her, other than the short little time she was in Game of Thrones. I've never really seen anything else that she had done. And I was on that line when they first cast her, I was like, you know, who is this? Definitely expecting somebody else. But I think she's embodied Ellie to the core. She's absolutely slayed the dragon.
Slaying the dragon.
Slayed that dragon. Speaking of dragon, I'm picking Ron Swanson himself. And I'm a huge fan of Nick Offerman.
Of course you would pick the greatest man that ever lived.
That's right.
Well, there he is.
I think...
Hello.
Bill. Hello. Bill, not Bill. You bodied the character, so I want to call you Bill. But Nick, when you were cast... I was excited from day one, but that episode, and a lot of it's the writers, but I think that he threw his whole heart into putting a life and a backstory to a character that was, there was a caricature in the game, you know, and was a stereotype, was a joke. And I was not prepared for the level of intimacy and movement that I felt from his character. And I think he did something really outside of the norm for him, you know, because Nick's a very sweet man, very well educated, but he's also kind of a man's man comedian, not in a Tim Allen kind of way, but he's known for, he's a famous woodworker, really cool, like down to the salt of the earth, kind of probably has a flip phone kind of guy. Mm-hmm. That's what you know about
actually,
him.
It's a Nokia.
I play Snake.
You never know when you need to throw a brick at a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this Nokia.
He got his cadence down perfectly. So I'm going to give it to Nick Offerman. That surprised me the most, I think. What about you, Steve?
Oh, my gosh. This is a little hard because a lot of people have impressed me. So I guess, like, I'm not going to give it to Pedro.
Is it me?
It's you. It was always you.
My coverage is
I'll take a shower.
Yeah, I'll take a shower. No, I'm not going to give it to Pedro because, like, I kind of expected him to crush it as soon as they announced it was him. Like, well, yeah, of course. Almost same with Bella Ramsey, because I knew she had that fire in her because she was Lyanna Mormont in Game of Thrones. And as soon as they said that, I'm like, hell yeah, she could pull that off. She's got that spunk, that fire, that pizzazz that Ellie has.
Moxie.
So really, it comes down to like the ancillary characters. And part of me was like, do I give it to Nick Offerman? Because he was incredibly impressive. Do I give it to, I already forget the actor's name, the guy who played Frank, because I wasn't expecting that to be so fun. But I think at the end of the day, the person that's impressed me most is Kevon Woodard.
Yeah.
Super Sam.
This is a little boy that I never heard of him before. I'm not familiar with his work at all. And in the one episode that he really gets to shine, he just like took me on a roller coaster of emotions. And I was just weeping that. And I'm almost upset and mad that I don't get to see him in the show anymore, because he was just that great and adorable and lovable. And I just so sad that he's gone.
Yeah, it was a heartbreakingly good performance. Him and Lamar Johnson. I almost said Lamar Johnson as well.
Yeah, both of them are great.
I was like, is that just because we recorded episode 5? But I mean, they were that good. They will be the among the standouts of all of season 1.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's see, moving on. This question comes in from Ruben. Lovely guy, Ruben.
Ruby Rubes.
He writes,
Ruby Soho. Sorry.
It's Ruby Soho? Hell yeah. It's a rancid fan in the audience. He writes, since I know you guys played the game, which character would you be more interested in knowing more of through flashback stories that we didn't get in the game? Presumably, I think he's kind of hinting towards what we got with Bill and Frank, how they had like an extended flashback that fleshed out their characters a lot more so than what we saw in the game itself. Are there any characters like that? I have an opinion, but I'm hesitant to talk about this character because we haven't met them yet.
Yeah, that's what's tough. There aren't too many characters in the game, and a couple of them we haven't even seen yet.
Mm-hmm. So I would be just interested in learning about the 20 years that Tommy and Joel were together. And I'll just leave it at that.
Tommy, Joel, and Tess, the adventures, like what was the group of people they rolled with?
Right.
Well, the traps they were setting in the highway, pretending to be injured.
I agree. And I also expected... like I said, I talked about this a little bit, mostly in the Discord fireside chat. There's ancillary characters that don't even exist that I would love to have seen, especially in flashback. What I expected from this episode going, and I was initially very disappointed until that hole opened up and then all hell broke loose. The stank came out, and I love it, as I talked about earlier, after a double shift.
Just a fog bank of fungal growth.
Like the sewer section. It's one of my favorite parts of the game. We talked about it on our recap on Monday, and I really was shocked that they blew through that so quickly. And I fully expected, back a couple episodes ago, we predicted there'd be a flashback opening every single episode.
Right.
And I thought for sure that this one would start with the story of Ish and Danny and those people, and we'd actually see those people. I thought, like, what a perfect thing to do. Now that you have a TV show, you can do this. You can actually show them and then have Joel and Ellie walk through. And how sad would that be? Because that's how you mimic the feeling of having these notes to read. I'm still actually to this moment a little shocked that's not the way they went with it, even though it was an incredible episode.
So. It's an incredible episode, but I think if they did that in this episode, it would have been a big sidestep to the story they were currently telling. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they could. It would be very hard to fit that in on top of everything else that was going on without it feeling disjointed and not cohesive, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, I would argue they did that a few times successfully in the beginning episodes, you know? You get this whole storyline with Ratna wandering through Indonesia and like this talk.
Sure. Well, maybe if they started episode 4 with the flashback of Ishmael and all of them in the tunnels.
Sure, maybe.
And I'm just saying, like, you don't put it in between 4 and 5.
That's fair.
Because by the time you get to 5, kind of then you get into the tunnel, you're like, oh, that was the thing.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because they could have done like a whole thing with like Ish, just like writing the notes or something and just voiceover, you know, anything small would have been like, ha ha, kind of cool thing. But that's my answer, is just like no one specifically, because Jimmy stole like the real one. Is like, I think the most compelling cheap answer is I'd love to see Joel 10. You know what I mean? The main, I didn't see more of the main character, but it's like, that's the answer. Like, right. I want to know all that shit Joel did and run around with Tommy and Tess when they were younger. That'd be fun. You know,
Marlene might be an interesting character to get more backstory on.
Yeah,
like she's a cool character. But
I agree.
The only thing we really know about her past is that she recruited Tommy. But like, what was she doing before that? before she, what made her join the Fireflies? How did she become the leader of it? How is she running the,
or just like the Boston Resistance? The origin of the Fireflies. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That'd be a cool story. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. But the one I wanted to say was David. Do you remember that guy in the game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a crazy flashback if they do that. So I won't say anything more on that one, but keep an eye out for David.
What if he's just like a third grade teacher?
Hello. Hello. I don't know why he gave him that. Hello.
Hello.
This is perfect.
Yeah. Open your textbooks to page 45. We will be reading How to Kill a Mockingbird.
Why is he going to be an English teacher? I disagree. I definitely know. A math teacher.
Because I'm not smart enough to pull up a lesson plan for math. All right. We're going to learn tables.
Fractions, how to divide, how to multiply.
Triangles.
Sometimes you flip them.
There's isosceles.
Romulus.
Obtuse. Romulus.
Like triangles.
The home planet of the Romulans. Romulus.
It's also a Roman figure, Romulus and Remus. Rhombus.
Yeah, rhombus. There we go.
I like how Chris is like, here's the real thing. And I'm like, say face stuff. let's see. Our next question is from Enza, the one and only
Belgish fan.
Enza writes, based on your personality, insert yourself in the show.
Oh, go on.
Who would you In the show. Insert yourself in the show. who would you be? What would your role be? Would you survive? I added that last part.
Well, I'd like to take you back to when somebody asked me about my place in the story of House of the Dragon.
I think she's teeing you up for this.
And I was getting my cheeks clapped in Flea Bottom.
Yep.
Where would I be in The Last of Us, you ask? I'd be collaborating in Kansas City, selling my ass for apples on the low low.
I thought you were going to say, like, I'm the sad boy that the Raiders fuck in between pillaging villages.
Willing, though. That's how I survive.
That's how I get my food.
Here, get down on your ground and give me your shoes. I'll just suck your dick. I don't want you to do that. I will.
I just asked for directions.
I was just going to take your shoes.
All right, man, we'll let you go. Just get away from us.
Are you sure?
Just don't suck my dick.
That's my defense against everybody, including clickers. You can't see me, but you can feel me.
So if the zombie apocalypse actually happened, whether it's the Last of Us version or any other version of zombies, I'm dying on infected. I am not lasting long. I'm the person who's like, oh no, there's a puppy. I gotta save the puppy. Oh, I'm eating.
I think I'm pulling a Henry on day one if I have to, just because it's like I'm very high maintenance. I take omeprazole for my acid reflux.
Like a fifth of pot.
I've got eczema medicine. Like I need a lot of stuff to make my life even remotely livable. My anxiety level's high. I'm just nothing's worth it for me. And I've been sober 11 years. I've thought about this a lot. And I'm like, am I going to break into the pharmacy on day one of the apocalypse?
I think we've talked about this. We're like, if the end of the world starts, we're getting high. For sure.
I'm finally going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to care.
You're going to be like, care.
Steve's going to show, Chris, I got a bunker. I'm like, chill out, man.
I'd like to think I'd last for a decent amount of time.
You have a backpack.
Yeah, I have a backpack. I'm familiar with weapons.
He's already one leg up against me.
Yeah.
He's got a backpack.
Yeah. I'd like to shoot things. So I think I'd last pretty long. I think the emotional connection, like whether or not to trust somebody, is what would probably end up getting me killed.
Yeah, like, you're definitely going to get duped.
Yeah,
early.
I'm like, damn, you look like a nice guy. You trying to suck my dick? And so then they kill me.
In this situation, Chris trumps all of that.
Yes, yeah. That's how I get you.
Through the power of the mouth.
through
that mouth, yeah. The mouth of Sauron over here is going to survive the zombie apocalypse.
The mouth of Sauron.
I just love, like, any film property we imagine ourselves in, one of your holes is being violated.
I know my place in the universe.
Can't wait for the...
Servicing.
No. Servicing.
No, I mean, I can't fight there very well.
I would like to think I'd be like Denzel in the Book of Eli, right? And just murder people willy-nilly and just be really good at it. But
I don't think you would be.
Yeah. Depends on the level of if it's
definitely not with a machete and kung fu style.
I'm not getting that close for sure.
I feel like at one point, if I managed to survive like a couple weeks with, at the point where there's like raiders and shit, I would be the guy that like puts up a like half-heartedly puts up a fight. But the moment they like shoot at me, I'm like, guys, I'm going home. I'm not playing anymore. Wait, I don't do this.
You're like, stop. Wait, stop.
I know the guy that sucks your dick. Well, that was the last question sent into us from Discord, and I believe the last question of the evening for our mailbag.
We appreciate everybody that took time and effort out of their day to send in questions. You can continue to do that. We might do another one. We'll probably do a Yellow Jackets mailbag at some point if you're listening to that coverage. But always write in to streamingthingspod@gmail.com or send us DMs on Instagram or tweet us on Twitter or message us on the Discord. We love talking to you. We don't answer each and every single one, but I can assure you I read each and every single message and email that comes through. It's actually probably something that's pretty bad for my mental health because it's definitely a thing that I do and it takes a lot of time, but I can't always respond to every one of them. But I feel like a completionist need to at least like receive what's being sent to me because I know you guys are spending time and effort to do that. So we appreciate you, each and every one of you. So thank you.
Absolutely.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Right.
It's the end of the episode in the month of February, the month of love. So it's time to show some love to our brand new patrons this month. In our Try Before You Deny section, we welcome David Malfara. The Marty B VIP producers, we welcome Tanmay Jane, Garrett Pratt, Michael Brook, Professor Beth RN, Veronica, Ode Bianchers, Ibsliz, Droog, Samuel T, Drew Watkins, Brett Logue, Joseph Bowen, Kaylee Sampson, Nick, and Stephanie Bennett. In the Chocolate Pudding Producers section, we welcome none other than Renzo20, Claudia Garver, Kristen Glenn, Amanda Brown, John Cavett, Bruce Cullum, Maria Rojas, Candace Hensley, Logan Loftus, Hannah W., Kenneth Singletary, Matthew Unden, Carol Ann Quinn, Dan Wells, Max Grabinski, Kelly Nealon, Hannah T.S., Aurelio Reyes, Valerie Frazier, and Andrew Edelman. And finally, in the Friends Don't Lie producers tier, we welcome Baby Bella Twinkie Butt of Spotty Bottom. Maybe the greatest patron name in the history of patron names. And that has been our brand new patrons that we want to show our love to. Thank you.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.